whatever. You know, it was meant to spend some time, some way, somehow, somewhere in that that time period to get my heart ready before coming to the use of the words. I was to repent of my sins and open my heart up to the Lord and say, Lord, so you can do your work in me. That's why the church put that in there. So, because it recognized what the burning bush was and wanted people to walk on holy ground with a holy heart before the Lord. Not a perfect heart, a heart that was set upon seeking the Lord. And of course, there's other, I mentioned the penitential rite and other places and so on. So, on page 4, judgment such as illness and death was visited upon the community. That's a hard word for us to hear today. These are signs the power of Jesus' death is not completely recognized and experienced. Okay. Number 4, let's look at what discerning then discerning the body is. Eucharist is the body. It's the risen Christ, Jesus, alive and victorious Lamb who has conquered sin and death. To discern the body, then, is to expect to receive healing, forgiveness of sins, and abundant life. The Eucharist is the new covenant. I'll talk about that in a moment when we talk about sacrament. Okay, let me just conclude this part, and then we'll pick up some more after a break. So, what is happening at the Eucharist, then, is the Jubilee, is the proclamation of our victory, our redemption in Jesus Christ. It's at once a celebration and a proclamation. We celebrate what God has done for us through Jesus, and we celebrate the Zoe life, the abundant life he wants to bring to us as we eat of his body and drink of his blood. So it's a celebration, and we proclaim it. We gather to worship and praise God. That's why praise is such an integral part of the Mass. And, you know, we talked about this, I think, last month a little bit. But praise, if you look at the liturgy of the Mass, it is full of praise. From the Gloria, you know, to the acclamations, you know, dying, you destroyed our death, rising, you restored our life, Lord Jesus, come and glory. That's an acclamation of praise. It's a festive shout. In the Old Testament, the Hebrews had festive shouts. Shouts of decoration of what God has done. So the acclamations were meant to be that kind of thing, a festive shout. We sing it, but and singing's great, but it was meant to be like an acclamation, is a short utterance that's proclaimed loudly to of who the Lord is. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. It is a proclamation, a shout of what has been accomplished in Jesus Christ. And so the liturgy is full of praise and full of worship. If you understand it as the Jubilee, then you understand that at this moment at the altar of sacrifice is our Jubilee, is our victory, is our redemption, is our salvation. So we praise God. That's a major part of the liturgy and why we gather is to praise Him. That's why there should be spontaneous praise and worship at the Mass, because not only should there be formal praise and formal worship such as we find in the prayers, but there should be spontaneous, because at any event in which people are touched deeply by something, there is the personal expression of that, along with the formal expression of that. The two are not exclusive, they are really inclusive of one another. We see that in our relationships, right? We all have people we relate to rather formally to. And there are times in our life where even the closest people we relate formally to. But then at the same time, there's also a very spontaneous and natural way of responding to a person. If you're at your child's basketball game and they score a point, you know, by dunking the ball, you don't have to wait till somebody formally tells you you can respond. You don't have to do that. It's a spontaneous response of joy. And you clap, you shout, or whatever it expresses that joy. Well, the Mass is the same way. When we gather as the Lord's people, there is the formal expressions of praise, such as the Gloria, for example, which is a beautiful prayer phrase that formally draws the hearts of God's people together to express ourselves in worship and praise people. But then there can be the informal, spontaneous expression from my heart to the Lord also. Because at a football game, when the Ravens score a touchdown, you know, 60,000 people spontaneously shouted, clapped, and, you know, applauded with their words the person who scored. Nobody had to tell them, do that. Okay, now it's time to do that. Big, you know, big flash across the jumbo screen. Now let's clap. Okay, now let's shout. You don't have to do that, you know. It comes forth spontaneously because they had 60,000 fans have an investment in what's taking place. It touches them deeply. So, at a mass, then, we can spontaneously praise God, spontaneously lift our voices to Him, because we are touched deeply by the jubilee that's taking place at the altar, the sacrifice. And the liturgy of the word is a proclamation of that jubilee. Now, one of the reasons why we don't do it, there's a couple of reasons why. One is that because we have this understanding that mass or church is not to have an expression of emotion. It's meant to be formality. And that comes from the Enlightenment philosophy, which has been several hundred years in the Western culture. You go to other cultures in the world, the African Catholic cultures, the Latin America, South America, Catholic cultures, they spontaneously praise God. The Hispanic people in this country are a wonderful demonstration. Catholic Hispanic people are a wonderful demonstration of spontaneous praise and worship in the context of Mass, because that's part of their culture. They weren't touched by the Enlightenment like we in the West were. Okay, so they don't have these hang-ups with that. Okay. Second thing is that we do need models of that. So I think gatherings like this morning help us to do that. And thirdly, as I mentioned, at the Ravens game, people are spontaneously invested in the Ravens game, right? So they want to see the Ravens win. Well, people come to church have to be invested in what's taking place. That means conversion, being filled with the Holy Spirit, that awakens in them the soul's desire to invest themselves in God. Conversion, and the Catholic Church has said that, Second Vatican Council said this, the Catechism says this, that the liturgy doesn't exhaust everything, it presumes conversion. So the liturgy assumes people are converted. Now they weren't, believe me, they weren't dumb about all this, you know. They understood that people need to be converted, but what they're trying to say is that if you want the liturgy to be as full as it should be, people need to be converted to Jesus Christ. Hence, Life and Spirit Seminars, Alpha, people being brought to conversion, being filled with the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit, etc., that awakens the soul to God. Then the liturgy will start to become what it was meant to be. People can receive all the Lord is given at the altar sacrifice. So, what are some of the reasons why we don't pray spontaneously, and some things that can do to correct that? Okay, let's take about a 10-minute break, if you would. Be back. How about 15 minutes? Yeah, 10-minute break. Back by 11:30.